The world is constantly changing, and with that constant change comes the need to change how we think about things and how we approach problems, especially when we realize that the problems are ever evolving, and so the solutions need to keep up with that evolution as well. I'm joined on the line by the Director for Strategy, Sustainability, People and Public Affairs at Old Mutual, Xeliwe Ross, to take a look at the idea of thinking about things differently and the power of exponential thinking. Good evening, Xeliwe. Thanks so much for taking the time. Exponential thinking is such an interesting concept. It's not really a new concept at this point, but it is something that can be quite powerful when we look at communities and society and the economy that we live in and the day that we live in. How do we approach exponential thinking from a positive light to enhance the communities around us?
Good evening, Jimmy, and good evening to all your listeners as well. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you this evening. You're right. I mean, exponentialism is not a new thing. It's not a new concept. I don't know that many people know the legacy of Old Mutual and why exponential thinking has become so topical for us. Old Mutual is 179 years old. In 1845, our founder, John Fairbairn, started the company to protect the interests of orphans and widows at that time. But the concept of trust, the concept of protection and care have been central to who Old Mutual is. But we're also conscious that what has made us successful for 179 years isn't what's going to make us successful for the next 179 years. And that's where this exponential thinking is becoming important. But I think not just for ourselves as a company, not just for all financial services companies, many of whom were at the Singularity Summit this week, but more so for South Africa and for Africans in general. We cannot get left behind.
In not getting left behind, Xeliwe, how do we create opportunities? Because the industries that are now coming up are different to the industries that were around 179 years ago. And that obviously means we need to approach business differently as well. And we need to approach how we build companies differently as well.
I think the starting point for me, Jimmy, is the openness of individuals across all levels of organizations to realize that we need to consider this difference. Is it scary? Of course it is. Let's not pretend that AI and the implications of it are not scary potential outcomes. They are. But I think that that fear is human nature. It's been with us through the ages. When horse-drawn carriages had to convert to become cars and become mechanical, there was a challenge. When calculators were invented, there was a challenge. There's a fear around, what does this mean for us as humankind? What does it mean for jobs? What does it mean for careers? What does it mean for our children and for the longevity of society? I get that. But I think the openness to consider that there could be opportunity, particularly for ourselves as Africans. I heard a fascinating statistic today that the largest per capita users of cell phones and data in cell phones are actually South Africans, which means that we are more digitally fluent than we give ourselves credit for. However, we're using those digital means at the moment to access the internet and look at videos. Look, all of us scroll mindlessly through social media at times. But how do we leverage that level of comfort and fluency for Africans to start finding solutions to our own issues and be able to leverage the opportunity to augment ourselves, augment the skills that we have, augment our ingenuity to create solutions that are going to catapult us into the future?
This all sounds very disruptive, Xeliwe, and disruption tends to create a bit of concern for some individuals, whether it's investors, whether it's communities. People don't often like change, but change is very necessary, and change is probably one of the only constant things that we can be assured of in this life that we all are journeying through. Mm-hmm. How do we embrace disruption, and how do we use disruption as a tool to change the way we think about problems?
Yeah, you know, one of the presenters at the Singularity Summit spoke about the fact that if we do not adapt to this new way, this new ways of change, we face our own extinction. And so I think it's an alternative between, well, do we decide to adopt? And in adopting, what do we then need to adapt in our way? How do we help our children, our companies, our societies, our governments? It's a multifaceted approach that has to be applied in order for this to be sustainable. I did speak about openness, Jimmy, but I think it's also about learning and an openness and a willingness to learn and be exposed to these things. And I think it's going to unlock a level of ingenuity in people, in Africans who are going to find the next set of digital solutions for us and be able to to create different kinds of jobs, different kinds of careers, different kinds of products that are going to be taking us into the future. That's where we have to be open. It's not comfortable. I don't want to present it as this utopia. It does definitely wake a bit of fear in an individual in thinking about what could this mean for humanity as a whole. But I think once you start to understand areas and start to think about how do we get our organizations to be open to experimenting, to be okay with certain levels of failure. The shareholders for a listed company, we can't fail in big things, but we can start to teach our employees to learn how to experiment and run small sets of experiments that teach them things that can be rolled out throughout large companies. How do you create pockets of innovation in places where people can unlock and unleash their energy? How do we use these tools like artificial intelligence to save us time? They're not going to make us hyper-productive by any stretch of the imagination, but we can start to learn these hacks of saving time, of becoming more efficient and productive, of getting rid of the parts of our work and our lives that are mundane to a certain extent, that are repetitive, that are rote, that we can start to unlock our own problem-solving ability.
Anyway, you touched on the role of individuals in kind of growing and learning about these new spaces. I want to look at the role of organizations. You just touched on it now to say that organizations like Old Mutual are listed organizations that have previously had certain ways of doing things. How do large organizations contribute towards changing the conversation? Because at the end of the day, it does require large organizations to drive the message home that a different way is required. And one of those things, I mean, I think about an example. Old Mutual operates in the financial services space. Historically, financial services have been very difficult for new entrants to play in that space and to disrupt that space. How do organizations like Old Mutual bear the responsibility to help facilitate the opening up of those spaces?
Yeah, for sure. I think it starts with the understanding that what has made us successful as organizations in the past isn't necessarily what's going to make us successful going forward. And being open to the fact that success may look and feel different, and it may need to be inclusive in ways like we've never considered. It may need to be more open, more full of disclosure to help customers understand the decisions that they're making, for example. And we need to take regulators along because, you know, oftentimes regulation lags innovation by 2, maybe 4 years at times. And how do we help regulators understand the change that's coming and be able to at least regulate, especially the financial systems on which our economies operate, so that it enables financial services companies like ourselves to be able to continue to push that innovation edge. It's never an easy thing, particularly for large and complex organizations, but many organizations around the world have had to do it. Like renewal and transformation and catapulting and transforming oneself is not a new thing for organizations to have to do that. And so it takes leadership. It takes a bold sense in leadership to understand that it's required and to be able to drive that. And I think to democratize the knowledge, to be able to take as many people along as possible.
Louis, you bring up the Singularity U event that Old Mutual recently sponsored, and I remember attending the pre-launch several months ago around why this particular event was being put together in the first place and the role of these kind of disruptive initiatives within growing the ecosystems that we all have at the moment. Why did Old Mutual decide that this was the particular event to partner with and to get behind?
I think certainly commentary that we've received either in the summit or outside has been, I think people, particularly in South Africa, have a particular view of Old Mutual, a particular view of insurance, I guess, to a certain extent. And we needed a place where we could have a voice about what we felt was possible in our industry, possible in our sector, possible for our country and continent at large. And Singularity felt like the right place to do it. When you visit Singularity University in the US, they really start talking about the Singularity mindset and 10X thinking, as they call it, and how we're going to catapult into the future and what that looks like. And they take a number of organizations and leaders in this way of transformational thinking. That's a part. So how do we bring that back home to South Africa and share it with the leading organizations and minds in our country and our continent? The second part is in preparing for our own future. How do we get our own leaders ready for what's coming? Our employees, we've got a number of our SMEs and customers attending the summit with us, because you have to take a number of people along this journey with you, and sharing the knowledge that you're gaining and helping people understand what you're hoping to become, what you're transforming into. That was the intent.
Anyway, we've been looking at the disruptive side of things, but in disruption and in creation and in innovation, there needs to be an element of sustainability. You can't do something, have it be a once-off event, and then nothing comes of it in future. How do you balance that? How do you ensure that sustainability goes hand in hand with the kinds of solutions that are coming out?
For sure, Jimmy. I wouldn't be a good insurance practitioner without touching on risk and risk management and risk mitigation, because in every opportunity, I do think that there's a level of risk, and that needs a fair bit of analysis and modeling and understanding what the implications of those risks are. And you're right. I think it has been important for us to balance any sort of exponential thinking with what the potential risk could be. And then starting to think about, how do we make this change sustainable? How do we lock it into the way that we do business? And we, more than anything, refer to ourselves as a responsible business more than talking about sustainability. And responsible businesses go beyond sustainability. They go beyond the ESG pillars that are known today of environment, social, and governance constructs. We want to see how we can start to imbue some of these principles into how we manage our talent, how we attract people, how we reward them beyond a fair wage for the work that they do. The work that we do in communities, particularly financial education across the continent, in helping people not only understand where they are today, but be able to dream into the future and do so responsibly. We believe that there are opportunities coming as a result of climate action, not just in terms of us being able to alter our own investment mandates and influence the investment mandates of others, but also to be able to start to think about what climate change means for ourselves as an insurer, for the products that we offer our customers, for where our communities are located and our customers are located, and how we'll influence and drive policy that influences things like where people will live, how they live, how to start to protect yourself against fires, earthquakes, floods, and the like. We've seen it in the east coast of South Africa that weather pattern has started to change. And to be able to lead the charge in those conversations, but also be able to help and arm colleagues in government and the like in being able to prepare for disaster readiness in those areas as well, becomes a new frontier for insurers to be able to play into.
Innovation and a different way of thinking. That's certainly how we need to be approaching things if we are to future-proof Africa and to move the continent forward. Definitely an initiative that Old Mutual hopes to be around for another 179 years to see through. We'll leave the conversation there. Tleliwe, thanks so much for the time and for the insights. That's Tleliwe Ross, who is the Director for Strategy, Sustainability, People and Public Affairs at Old Mutual Limited, joining me to take a look at the power of exponential thinking and innovation.